Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be all the glory. This is the day that our Lord has made. We are rejoicing. We are praising God for it as he has brought us through today to get to this Word Wednesday. We thank God for you as we open in prayer, and those that would come in tonight to hear what God wants to say to us tonight. Let us begin in prayer. We thank God for you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word. We thank you, God, for edifying our minds in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind up anything that's not of you in our lives and off of our lives, God, if it wasn't sent from you. We thank you, Lord, for freedom and liberty that only you can give in the name of Jesus. So, God, this time we have together, may you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory be to his name. Glory be to his name. We're going to dive right into the word of God tonight. Again, I'm talking from the thought, as we preached on Sunday, greater is coming, along with my subtopic from last week, not to think small, or no more small thinking. No more thinking small. So we have such an expectation, and one of the things that we shared on Sunday is that we get what we expect. And we're going to look at some scriptures that talks about faith and how Jesus honored their faith and how he pinpointed that their faith was directly attached to their blessing or the manifestation of their miracle or what they did receive in the natural. And that's why he tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. But sometimes the enemy tries to get in there on you and I. That's why we got to speak. Greater is coming, because patience has to be in there. Sometimes the spirit of waiting. Sometimes the spirit of while you wait, your mindset and your attitude, waiting with the right frame of mind. All of that matters with God. So we, amen, are going to look right now at someone who didn't want to wait and kind of prematurely did something, but had the sense enough to make it right. Talk about the prodigal son. Let's start there tonight. Luke chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 11. Luke 15, beginning at verse number 11. I actually love this story because in our day, you know, we hear the word backslider, and some people used to go to church, no longer goes to church. There are some people, we're going to look at another scripture tonight that's been in my spirit for a while. This is Luke 15, but we're going to look at John 15. And things happen. And sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes things happen so much so that the enemy does get in there and deceive us and trick us. You know, one of the things that is detrimental to not just Christians or anybody is this thing called the blame game. I'm blaming you, or I'm blaming that, or I'm blaming them for my defeat, or the reason I'm not doing what I know I'm supposed to do, or the fact that I'm not in my God-given assignment. And God will give you the grace. God will give you the strength. God will give you the wisdom that you need to navigate through those times where, I said it on Sunday, sometimes you don't feel him, you can't trace him. It's like, God, where are you? So much warfare is going on in my life, but God is always there. And sometimes I just got to tell you, as a man of God, and I've seen it in my own life, God is sometimes, and we said it on Sunday, could it be a test? He's sometimes watching and monitoring how we're going to respond in that particular situation that we find ourselves in, if it's something that we didn't like to be in. In this particular story, there's a trouble that he created. And then there are instances in our lives where the trouble just came. I didn't create the cancer came. But I thank God that as he delivered me, whether it's a trouble we created or a trouble that the devil created, God is a very present help, oh my God, in the time of trouble. And his disciples, before Jesus ascended, He prepped them in that because he knew the Roman soldiers, the Roman government. He knew the kind of world that he left them in. The kind of, and that's why Pastor preached about Herod and the days in which Peter and the disciples were living, because they had such an opposition against their life, and Jesus knew that they were going to turn the world upside down. But he also knew what they were facing. But by the time he departed, glory be to his name, they were ready for the assignment. The 12 were ready for the assignment. And that's what God wants, even from the church today. He wants us willing and ready and able. But let's look at this prodigal son. Let's start here in Luke 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls or that belongs to me. And he divided into him them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I'm going to read that again, verse number 14. And when he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine or feed pigs. And he would faint, had he filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came, I love this verse. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to read a little more, but I want to make a few points from what we just read, these first eight verses. We have a young man who, father obviously is wealthy. He goes to his dad and say, give me my inheritance now. Not when you die, I want it now. His father did not argue with him. His father gave him his portion, and he went out into a strange land and began to do some riotous living. That's kind of like living on the wild side, living without boundaries and rules. And he went out there, and he just acted a fool, and he spent all the money. It wasn't a little bit of money. He spent everything that his father gave him. And then the Bible says, that's why I wanted to read it again, because God is sovereign. God sometimes knows how to get our attention better than anyone can. That's why when the Bible says, you know, when we try to get back at somebody that hurt us or somebody that did us wrong, or we want to give revenge back on somebody that did something against us, the Bible says, God says it throughout the Bible. A few times he says it in different ways. He said, this battle is not yours. This battle is mine. And then he goes on to say, vengeance is mine. God will deal with your enemy. God will deal with those that don't like you. God will deal with people much better and far better than you ever can, than I ever can. And it's not a coincidence that after he spent all that he had, the Bible says not just a famine. Look at the adjective. Look at the adjective word. It said a mighty famine. That means it was dry. Everything was drying up. The animals did not have water to drink. All the crops were dying and dry. The heat was scorching. It was a serious famine that rose. And then it said this man began to be in want. But guess what? He did not come to his senses then. Oh, God, Lord, help me. When we talk about greater is coming, sometimes God wants us to be ready for the greater. And this man, he could have went back at that moment and said, I've messed up. What am I doing out here? But no, the Bible says he went and connected with somebody that was a citizen of that land. And that person, because it already said nobody gave him anything, after he spent all he had, nobody came to help him. He said, the Bible says he connected himself to a stranger in that land, and guess what that stranger did? Go feed my pigs. Help us, God. See, not speaking to you directly, but sometimes you see people get out of the will of God, and sometimes they find themselves in a hard place, but it's not the end. God is sometimes simply trying to get that person or our attention to get us back in the will of God. I heard Steve Harvey said today, if you get off track, who says you can't get back on track? Amen. Just like a train is derailed, guess what? They don't go and put that train in the junkyard. They don't go and take that train and say, oh, you fell off the track. You're no more good for any passengers to ride on. No, they tip that train back on that track. They prepare the rails, and that train continues to be a train. Amen, somebody. And that's what God is saying to us. For us to get greater and to then manifest and maximize the greater that we receive, we have to be ready for the blessing. Because greater is coming. More money is coming, but God wants you to exercise wisdom when he gives you more money. Amen. You know, sometimes I was telling them last week, I drive a 2002 Altima that runs real good. And I said, it runs like a 2020. I love that car. It has speed. It has great acceleration. Teaching my daughter how to drive in that car, it really has been good to me. I had it for about 6 to 8 years, and it really is a good automobile. And I was thinking about that sometimes, yes, we can get, you know, do certain things, but God says sometimes it's not the season to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to be a blessing to your family. I need you to get yourself together. I need you to start putting money away for a rainy day. I need you to start going back to school and secure your education. I need you to get greater credentials so you can get a greater job. Whatever it may be, your walk is not my walk, but God will speak to you about the doors that he opened and how you can maximize those opportunities. And I'm going to keep reading because we're going to make our points from here and move on. But he didn't go back at that first time. But the Bible says, once this man who was a citizen of that country told him to go and feed the pigs and the swine, and he even looked at what the pigs were eating, and there's no way that he can eat that or should even be interacting with swine like that. The Bible says, only then, when he was at his lowest, my God, that he came to himself. And so many people, I love Les Brown's story where he said, I slept in cars and I slept in hotel rooms. Now he's one of the greatest motivational speakers that ever lived. But guess what? He hit rock bottom. Then he became great. But sometimes the fact that he had to sleep in the office and let people talk about him, he said, I used to wash my clothes out in the basement in the hotel room and then go and speak to thousands of people, hundreds of people, and they had no idea I didn't have my own apartment, my own home. Now he's a multimillionaire, but guess what? He had to hit rock bottom while he was on his way to fulfilling his dream. And the enemy would try to convince you that because you may not be at the top of your game or the top of your business or the top of your field, that it's all over for you. The devil is a liar. Greater is coming. Whether you fail, go back to school and do it. Whether you dropped out, go back and try again. Whether you didn't accomplish something, it's not over until God says it's over. I said on Sunday, we got a bounce back anointing. We can always get back in the game, beloved. We can always fill out more applications. We can always upgrade and update our resume. We can always try to get another home when a bank refused to give us a mortgage. We can always try to go back to college if somebody turned us down for tuition, and we can go get a tuition loan from another bank or institution. We as believers, that's what it means, walking by faith and not by sight. You know, Pastor Rebecca and I, when we came out and started the ministry, we had so many naysayers. Some people were negative. Some people were optimistic. Some people were positive. But you got to believe in you. You have to believe in your ability. You have to believe in what God has given you. He said your gifts will make room for you. And you got to believe that it's something that God has given you. Whether it's one gift, two gifts, or five gifts, it will make room for you. And this young man said, wait a minute. And the Bible says when he came to himself, he went back and got restored. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory be to his name. I never forget going out for my high school basketball team. I was a senior. And I don't know, don't ask me why I tried out in my senior year. I should have tried out as a sophomore and as a junior because I was a pretty decent basketball player. I had the height. I had the physique. I knew how to play. But I just had no desire until my senior year. And then me and my friend who played for North Tech High School, we worked on my game all summer. And then when the tryouts came, you had about 50 high school students. I was a senior. You had about 50 people trying out for the varsity basketball team for like three or four positions. Maybe five positions. And I knew I was kind of good because the coach kept putting me back in. And then the first 20 guys, he said, y'all just don't even try out anymore. Then it was like another 20 guys, and he said, okay, y'all come out. And then when I saw those 40 guys sitting on the bench, and he kept putting me in the game, he said, you, get back in there. And I just knew I was going to make this team. I said, he must like what he see. And then when I looked at the roster the next morning, I didn't see my name on the roster. And he was my gym teacher. And I said, you know, Mr. Daniels, why didn't I make the team? He said, if you would have tried out last year as a junior, you would have gave me time to work with you. And it would have been 2 years that you could have played varsity. And I like to work with the players that you can learn the plays. You can learn the teammates. A lot of these guys on this team, they're in the projects. They play summer league together. They play together. They're used to playing together. But you know, you're not playing with them on a regular basis. He said, if you was a junior or a sophomore, you would have made the team. But the fact that you're a senior and you're going to leave after this year, you're not giving me time to work with you and perfect your game even more so. And I said all that to say, glory be to his name, that God will allow you to make U-turns, will allow you to reroute, will allow you on your way to your greater, because greater is coming, to get it right in this season in your life. Amen. That's the story about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the final story is about the lost son. The lost sheep is the sheep that got lost, and nothing but wolves are out there trying to devour the sheep. And the Bible says the shepherd left the 99 and went and found the one sheep and brought him back to safety, and heaven rejoiced. And it made it so that when one person, one backslider, is brought back into the church, heaven rejoices. When one Christian loses their way and somebody ministers to that man or woman or that child and get them back into the things of God, all of heaven rejoiced like it was a million people. And this lady with the lost coin, it was so valuable to her. Like, people are valuable to God. And that's the same with this story of the prodigal son. Let's just close it out and look at what he said. Picking up at verse number 21. And the son, he went back, and they about to give him a party and all this stuff. And picking up at verse number 23. Let's just close it out with verse number 24. I'm not going to read too much because I read enough already. I want to move on. Verse number 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And they began to be merry. And then the oldest son began to have, you know, anger toward his dad, because he said, "This son went out and squandered all his money, and you never gave me a party. You never treated me that way. And now this kid that did wrong against you, wrong against me, you're treating him like he did well by you." And look at what he said to his son in verse number 20-30. "But as soon as this your son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, with prostitutes, you have killed for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, you are forever with me, and all that I have is yours." He was telling the oldest son, "You are acting right and doing right, but everything I have is yours anyway." It's unconditional. But verse number 32 says, "It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found." That's how we should be when somebody comes back to church and we haven't seen them in a while. We should celebrate and be happy. That's how it should be, glory be to God, when somebody lost their way, or a preacher falls from grace, or somebody lose their way, and then they repent, and they turn away from their wicked ways, and they get back into the things of God. We as believers should not spew out judgment. We shouldn't criticize. We should say, God is a gracious God. God is a loving God. God is a God of mercy. And I just think too much judgmental spirit goes on in our day when people don't do things the way we did it or the way we wanted them to do it. And we have to get away from that, because people are struggling. Oh, my God, help us. People are fighting to stay afloat. People are trying to survive out here. So we have to love. I'm going to look at this. Matter of fact, we're going to go to John. We're going to go to John, because this son became disconnected from his father, from his wealth, from his brother, and then he got reconnected. And I want to look at John 15 and see what Jesus says about staying connected. But first, yeah, let's go there, and then I might go to another scripture. Let's go to John 15, because I don't want to lose this train of thought. Greater is coming. But we must stay connected to Jesus, because he'll show you what to do with the money. He'll show you what to do with the opportunity. God will show you what to do with your second chances. God will show you through his son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit how you and I can be more effective as believers. Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." That's what the disciples were about. That's what the apostles were about. That's what, you know, so many people that say yes to the Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way, God, they are about kingdom. And we're going to look at what Jesus says in John chapter number 15, verse number 1. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse number 1. You know, right now I'm speaking through a cell phone. And when I came home, the battery life was about 20%. And I know that I probably would not be able to get through a broadcast with a 20% battery. In other words, that cell phone battery was probably going to die on me before I can, you know, finish the lesson. And sometimes when we look at our cell phones and we see it gives us an indication that the battery life is low, sometimes when we're low on energy, we're low on enthusiasm, we're low on passion, amen, somebody, come on, we're low on joy and we're low on happiness, we're low on energy, amen, somebody, we got to realize that sometimes we just need to plug up again. We need to plug in again, amen. We need to get refueled and re-energized and got to pull up to the gas tank and let God put some spiritual gasoline back into our tank. And that's what he's talking about here in John chapter number 15. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the true vine, and my Father, God who is in heaven, is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears or produces not fruit, he takes away. God takes away. And every branch that bears fruit or produce fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth even more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I'm going to stop there for a minute. You know, that reminds me of she went on to be with Glory now, my sister-in-law Janice. I remember she used to be a member of our church, and I preached the word from this John 15, and I remember specifically verse number 3, you are already clean with the word that have been spoken over you. And I'm saying that to you tonight, like I said that to her years ago, we are already washed with the word of God. We are already cleansed with the word of God. We've already been made right with the word of God. Amen, somebody. So sometimes the devil tries to get us to feel condemned, to feel guilty, to be ashamed, and I'm not giving you a green light to do anything. I'm not speaking a graceless grace message. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that God has already forgiven you. And that's what he says when he said, you have already been clean with the words that have been spoken over you. So when God is purging us, God is pruning us, sometimes God is putting us in that hard position and in a hard place because we pray, God, make me a more loving person. God, make me a nicer person. God, make me a better person. God, make me a more committed person. Get ready. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God will give you a basic training specifically designed for you. He'll give you a boss on your job that don't like you and say, go make that money, and I want you to navigate through your day with somebody who you know don't like you, but I'm trying to teach you patience. I'm trying to teach you a stick-it-to attitude. You ask me, God, make me more committed. I want you to commit to that job knowing that some people on that job don't like you. I want you to commit to that particular situation and working out your patience, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to put you to the test because, as Pastor Anthony is saying, greater is coming. I'm going to give you a better job than that. But I don't want you to walk off that job. Who is God talking to? My wife, you know, at one time she used to work for some difficult brokers when she was working in the financial industry. And she told me it's not an easy industry to work in, period. And there was one broker, she used to go in there, and it was not easy for Pastor Rebecca. But guess what? She did it. She had a family to take care of. She had responsibilities. She had obligations. And she went in there in that season in her life without complaining, without murmuring. She never walked off the job. She stayed committed because God helped her. She would go in her car and listen to a preacher on her lunch break, to get refueled. Come on, somebody. To get re-energized. That's why we got to go to church. On her daily job, on a daily basis, she would let the word come in midday. And she would explain to me how it helped her to cope in that season in her life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. We have to stay connected. We have to stay in him. Look at verse number 4. Abide in me, or remain in me, and I in you. I'm going to remain in you. I said it on Sunday. Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Bible says, and I think it's John chapter 14, he makes his abode with us. That means he makes his dwelling with us. So greater is he that's in you. Oh, I'm getting happy. I'm trying to teach, but I'm about to run. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, meaning you have the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus on the inside of you. You have the power of God on the inside of you. That's why it says you have that resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of you. And listen to what he says in verse number 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You have so many people out here trying to do it on their own. And they accumulate wealth and they say, I got this by my hands and I did this on my own. He says the branch that's trying to coexist or exist without me, watch this. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides or remains in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, that fruit, I don't want us to miss this. I do not want us to miss this. I'm not going to turn there, but Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'll stop at those three, but it's about 8 or 9 of them. I think those three are in the order that they're in for a reason. Love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, without love, we're clinging brass or a tingling cymbal. And it says, love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says over in 1 John that God is love. God is love. And we got to know, the Bible says over there in John again, how can we say we love God that we cannot see and we don't love our neighbor, our brother and our sisters that we do see? That's why Pastor Rebecca and I fight. We fight to keep the love in New Creation Church. I mean, our church on Sunday during the welcome, they were dancing to the song. We play a song during the welcome, and I looked up. Everybody was rejoicing. We said, go around and encourage one another, and the women were embracing. The men were embracing. People were feeling good about themselves, good about God, and during the hug of love, I saw people dancing in the spirit, dancing in the natural, and it was just a festive atmosphere, a good atmosphere at New Creation Church. And people were feeling the love of God as they loved on each other. And then during the offering, we play a song as we're coming down for the giving, the tithes and offerings. We normally play a song to, you know, have people in the spirit. And people were moving to the song and believing the words to the song. And the song, I think it was by Kirk Franklin. Again, it was talking about love. I don't love nobody but you. We love God. And that's what he's saying here. You will bear much fruit. In other words, you will produce much love. Oh, my God. Let me tie it together. Through you, more love will come into the earth realm. Through you, as you remain in Jesus, more joy will come through you, to your family, and into this world. through you and to you. We talked about it on the prayer last night. Jesus said, my peace I give with you, the peace of God, which surpass all understanding. First it's going to come to you. Then it's going to come through you. And you're going to have peace in your home. You're going to have peace in your relationship. You're going to have peace on the job. You're going to have peace in your community. But guess what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. And he says, if you're producing, he's going to purge you and prune you that you can produce more fruit. Amen. And look at verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Look at verse number 9, and we'll quit right here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep reading, he said, people would know that we are his disciples, our love one for another. That's why he told, you know, he's about to ascend up to the Father in heaven. He's about to be crucified for our sins. Jesus is about to go to the cross for us, and he's given them valuable principles. He's given his disciples valuable lessons about life that you and I can now glean from, that we can learn from. When we love unconditionally, it comes back to us. The marriages that work today in today's world are the marriages that understand this principle of love. Because husbands, we mess up. If I got any husbands on the line, I know I heard some amens out there. Glory be to God. And wives, sometimes y'all mess up too. But when you understand this principle of love and forgiveness and loving unconditional, like that agape love that God gives us, those are the relationships that endure and the relationships that last. Because love covers a multitude of sin. And when we have love, that's what Jesus is saying. You know, when he said, depend everything on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He made it so simple using the word love because it helps us. Amen, somebody. And look at let's look at this one here when we're talking about greater is coming. Go over to Mark chapter number 11, verse number 22. Mark 11, verse number 22. Please, in your private devotion and meditation, read the entire chapter 11 of Mark, the entire thing, because it will help you as far as believing God in faith and understanding how faith works, understanding the power of forgiveness, understanding, you know, I was saying on Sunday how we have anointing and we have authority. And as I read Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11 starting at verse number 22, the only way this can happen and the only way what we just read in John chapter number 15 can happen, if you and I believe, everything is according to believing. Everything is according to what we believe and what we have trusted faith in. That if we believe that we are anointed, that supernatural power given to us by God, if we believe that we have authority, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, if we believe that God has given you and I permission to allow certain things and to deny certain things, if we believe those two things, we'll start to see the manifestation of miracles. we'll start to see God move in mighty and great ways in our lives. That's why he's trying to teach this lesson right here in Mark chapter number 11, verse 22. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, there's that key word, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. I just spent a little time talking about that word believe. But shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught or you have a situation against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses or your sins. The Bible says all of us have fallen short. Amen, somebody. You know, when we point fingers or, I mean, some of us are living right. Some of us are living holy. We're going to church. We're tithing. We're praying. We're walking by faith and not by sight. But the Bible still declares that all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. So we need these verses that says, when somebody do something against us or sin against us, and we now have bitterness in our heart, or we're angry at that person, or we're upset and it's kind of, you know, getting us out of the spirit, Jesus is saying to you and I tonight, let it go and release them also. Because it's trying to grow a root. It's trying to create a root of bitterness in your heart. In Proverbs chapter number 4, it said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Up until age 30, until I got saved, I was talking to my sister the other day, and she jokingly said, you know, I'm doing good, brother. You know, baby brother, I'm trying. She said, but I still got this mean streak. I still have this anger and this meanness that comes out of me every now and again. And I can relate to what my sister was saying, because we both got that honestly in the family that we grew up in. She's so much better than what she used to be. And she said, brother, you know, I come a long way. And I said, yeah, you know, we laugh about it now, but I know how my sister was when she was younger. And she just wasn't the one back when we were younger. And I see her today laughing and having joy and enjoying life. And I know that God did that. Because guess what? She forgave. And I forgave. And you have to forgive. And the Bible says, when we believe, we receive. Once we're forgiven, he said, if you desire something and you don't doubt in your heart, but you say to that mountain, be thou removed from me, not only will you have what you say, he said, believe and you will receive. My God. So when you go on that job interview and fear try to come, doubt tries to come in, unbelief or your nerves try to get the best of you, read Mark chapter number 11, starting at verse number 22. Right before you go on that job interview and sit down with that manager or sit down with that human resource department representative, read what I just read And the Bible going to tell you, believe and you receive. As they asking you the questions, don't even worry about trying to do everything right. Just believe this job is mine. I know there are more applicants for this apartment, but God knows I need this apartment. I'm believing by faith that this apartment is mine. Amen. My wife and I, we tell this story often, but when we purchased this home that we've been in over 2 decades, we came and our realtor, she said, there's Berkeley. And we finally saw Berkeley and we fell in love with Berkeley. And, you know, we knew some other people were interested in the home, and we laid hands on this house, and we even told our children to come into agreement. That's what we do every Tuesday night on that prayer line. We ain't teaching y'all something we don't apply to our own lives. Amen. We told our children, they were little, and we said, y'all want this house? Start laying hands and claiming y'all rooms. start claiming this property. If you want to go to school in this neighborhood, start claiming it. And we laid hands, because our pastor, our bishop told us, lay hands and believe. Just like back in the days of Joshua. He said, everywhere the soles of your feet shall try, I'll give it to you. And if you know, sometimes you just got to walk the property. And as greater is coming, sometimes he'll take the foolish things to confine the wise. Somebody might say, hey, that's Anthony, that's crazy, that's stupid, that's ridiculous. And I look at the world in which we live today, and I look at what some people who, you know, the things that I see throughout my day, and I say they want to call Christians names, they want to call Christians foolish, they want to call Christians a peculiar people, but what I see in the world, they're kind of peculiar. They're kind of strange. Amen, somebody. So sometimes we just got to be mocked, we got to be laughed at, we got to be picked on, because I said it on Sunday, God wants us to have a backbone. God wants us to square our shoulders. God don't want us to be ashamed of our church that we belong to, ashamed to call him Jesus, ashamed to be called Christian. God do not want us to be embarrassed about who we are in him. Amen. So I thank God for Jesus. To God be the glory. Time is moving so quickly. Hallelujah. You know, I looked at the prodigal son who got a fresh start. And sometimes we need a makeover. Sometimes we need a, you know, on our computers, they have that reset, that reboot. Y'all know what I'm talking about. My wife told me the other day, reboot your phone. Maybe your phone needs to be rebooted. And we have reset. And on our GPS units, we have reroute. And sometimes we just got to turn around or turn it around. For greater to come, we're going in the wrong direction, and God is saying, you know, sometimes the greater is coming a certain direction, and we got to get back in the will of God. So we're going to close out with this one. Go to Genesis chapter number 32, I believe it is. Genesis chapter number 32? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 32, verse number 22. Jacob, if you read the Old Testament, especially Genesis, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Remember that before I read what I'm about to read. He told them through the covenant that he made with Abraham, Father Abraham. There was a covenant. And he named Abraham's son as part of that covenant. And he named Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who we're about to read about right now, as part of that covenant. In other words, God is a promise-keeping God. I need to say that to somebody tonight again. God has prophesied to you. God has made you some promises. God has already told you that he's going to prosper you. I pray you stay in faith. And I pray that you stay believing God on that. His promises, his prophecy, his prosperity, greater is coming, but you have to stay in faith. You have to stay connected to Jesus, stay connected to his church, stay connected to his word, stay connected in prayer. As the prodigal son got disconnected, he got reconnected, and thereby he got blessed again. We see in Mark chapter number 11, that whole thing was about a fig tree that Jesus cursed. It wasn't a person that Jesus put a curse on. It was a fig tree. It was a natural object, a earthly object. It was not a person. He cursed the fig tree to prove to his disciples that they were its matter. And he's telling me to tell you that your words matter. And as I talked about resetting, rebooting, and rerouting, let's look at Jacob. Genesis 32:22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and he passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them over the brook, and he sent them over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go except or until you bless me." Oh, my God. And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Look at verse number 28. And he said, here's the reroute. "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God, and with men has prevailed." Here Jacob is running from his brother Esau. He stole Esau's birthright, and he deceived Esau out of his blessing in cahoots with his mother Rebekah. Now Jacob's on the run, and he runs into his uncle Laban, who's an even bigger liar, a bigger deceiver, a worse trickster than Jacob could ever be. That's a whole nother lesson that I'm not going to get into tonight. But Jacob's eyes were open that he did not want to turn into an older Laban. He did not want to continue going in the direction that his uncle turned into a liar, a deceiver, a trickster for the rest of his life. And Jacob is now wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go," I'm paraphrasing, "until you change me." My God. That's how we got to hold on to God. Those of you that called into the prayer line, those of you that come to church, those of you who want to change from the inside out, those of you who want to improve, those of you that want to be better, those of you that want to be greater, those of you that want to be successful, you got to have that determination. God, I'm not letting you go until you bless me, until you change me, until you make me better than what I am right now. Because I want greater. And now the angel of the Lord said, the change has happened. Your name is no longer Jacob. I don't want you to identify with that lion name anymore. Your name is now Israel. That's a whole nother lesson right there. The 12 tribes of Israel came out of Jacob. That's what the gospel is all about. The promises that God gave the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob ended up blessing his 12 sons, prophesying to them at the end of Genesis. And they all get the prophetic word from their father that came to pass. But the final point I want to leave you with here is that as greater is coming, God wants us to change because he wants us to give him our best so that he can give us his best. Oh, God, I need to say that again. Not just for you, but for me. God wants you and I to give him our best so that he can deliver to us his best. Amen. And sometimes, you know, I'm not you. I can only know what I need to do better for God. Whatever that is, you know you can improve on. If it's your commitment, if it's your giving, if it's your level of praying, if it's your level of service to God and serving God in a certain capacity, if it's benevolence, if it's being more loving to your biological family, whatever that thing is, give God a better effort. Give God a better determination. And let God give you his best. Jacob, you know, the reason I said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is because God didn't say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Come on, somebody. Stay with me. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and even the liar Jacob. So whether we're flawed, whether we messed up, whether you made a big boo-boo in your life, a big mistake, God sees that before you see that. God knew that before you knew that. And God says, come back to me, all of you who labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God says, come on back to church. Come back to where you know you belong. Come back to reading my word. Come back to prayer. Come back to the family of God. You're the body of Christ now. Come on back to believing. And God will receive you back with open arms. God will love you back with open arms. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the word. God, if we lost our way, you said we can repent. We can make a U-turn and come back to you. God, we don't have to stay away. The prodigal son came to himself, and he said, I'm going back. I know I can have better than what I'm getting right now. Jesus told his disciples, have faith in God, but keep your heart pure. Forgive those that hurt you. Let go and let God for real, for real. So, God, I thank you for the word tonight. Continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank God for you. We're going to see you in church on Sunday. If you're in this area, we're going to have a word from the Lord. It's going to be a powerful time in God. We're going to have a good time at New Creation Church this Sunday, starting at 12:30 sharp. We thank God that you'll bring somebody to church with you. You'll put it on your social media about your church. You'll send it to your text database on your phone. Come on to my church. We're starting at 12:30. You'll send it to your coworker or your classmate or that family member that you know is struggling. Some people just need a good word. They just need to be in a good atmosphere. Some people are going through so much and they don't have any positivity around them. They have no optimism around them. They have just reinforced negativity. So invite them to your church where somebody's going to pour into them. Somebody's going to love on them. Somebody's going to encourage them. Somebody's going to build them. Somebody's going to motivate and inspire them. Invite somebody to your church because they're going to be blessed and they're not going to leave the same way they came in, just like you and I are not going to leave the same way that we came in. Amen. God bless you. Good night, everyone. Love you. See you Sunday, 12:30, 1482 Maple Avenue in the great city of Hillside, New Jersey. Good night. God bless.